Okay, so now the lessons are going to be recorded. And so please feel like, you know, feel free to go back and watch the lesson if you missed it. But if you have missed one, don't feel like, oh, I can't join the next week. I'll be so far behind. That was my point with that. We are going to have 13 different women from our congregation. All of them are new to teaching our women's classes, even though some of them are so experienced in teaching in their personal life. None of these ladies have ever taught a woman's Bible class this quarter. And that was my goal, to try to get as many different new faces in front of us, because I think at university, we are so blessed to have as much talent as we have. So each week, a different woman from our congregation will be presenting a short 10 to 15 minute lesson or devo about a different woman found in our Bible. Today's lesson is going to be presented by Brenda Schmidt. And Brenda's one of our elders' wives. I gathered five fun facts from her to help us get to know her better. And hold on, let me share that. Here you go. I thought these were kind of interesting myself. Here's some five fun facts to get to know her better personally. So she originally was supposed to be a bridesmaid in Michael's wedding. And sometime, I don't know if this is the correct venue for that, but sometime we all need to sit down and get that story from Brenda, for sure. The second thing is, she was a competitive gymnast in high school. I didn't know that either about Brenda. She's taught swimming and was a nanny. She has been to London and Italy. And she is a southpaw, which means she is left-handed. So right now, I'm going to turn it over to Brenda. Give her the full 10 to 15 minutes. I know we're kind of limited on time with Zoom. And then afterwards, if we have time, we're going to try to do like a small little breakout sessions in small groups to maybe discuss a question or two from her lesson. So, Brenda?
All right. Now, do you guys like my students to make sure that everybody can hear? If you can hear me, give me a thumbs up. Wow, this is intimidating. So I'm hoping I'm not going to have to tell anyone to put their toys away or stop turning their camera off and on or stop getting close to their camera and making faces, because that's what I see all day. So lots of fun. I mentioned to Katie Embry earlier that she had the tired teacher face. I have the tired teacher body all over. This is definitely, when I first chose my topic, I thought, oh, difficulty with waiting. That would be me. Just all the unknowns, because at the time when we were choosing our topics, we still didn't know if we were going back face-to-face. Were we going to be totally, you know, online completely? Was it going to be a mix? How is that going to work? And so there was a lot of waiting that we were having to do. I think there's still a lot of waiting that we're doing with that. the Academy started a little bit ahead of Hillsboro. I think we're going into our fifth week, but our fourth full week. I think I have probably cried most days. And I don't really consider myself an easy crier. I think the older I get, I cry a lot easier than I used to. I was accused of having no emotions in college. So I definitely have come out of that. I cry more now having kids, but it's been very hard. And so there's a lot of things that, I mean, I know even as parents, we all want answers to right now, and we're not going to get them. And we're just going to have to take it one day at a time. So that's why I chose this. The story in the lesson is about Sarah, and that doesn't really have anything to do with school waiting. But I did choose it based on just that word waiting, and that's something that I've struggled with. So I think we definitely can all learn something from this. So I want to start with just a little. I did a lot. I will tell you, this is not going to be a lot of my opinion. I basically just kind of sat down and Googled and looked for a lot of different perspectives on waiting on the Lord. And so we're going to get into the story of Sarah in just a little bit, but I'm going to start off with just a little kind of joke, I guess, that I saw that I think it applies. So it says, so obviously our lesson today is about waiting. Waiting on the Lord. I want to add that I think that our perspective on the situation that we're waiting on can make or break how well or how successful we are in waiting on the Lord. So one day there was a man who was taking it easy, lying on the grass and looking up at the clouds and having a conversation with God. The man said, God, how long is a million years to you? And God answered, in my frame of reference, a million years is about a minute. And the man asked God, how much is $1 million to you? And God answered, to me, $1 million is like a penny. So the man asked God, he said, can I please have one of your pennies? And God replied, absolutely. Just give me a minute. So I think our perspectives have a lot to do with how we wait. And we need to understand that our perspective may not be exactly what God's is. So I'm sure that none of us like waiting on things. I'm sure some of us older people, if we can remember, there was a commercial, a Heinz ketchup commercial. And I looked this up and it was back in 1979. So a lot of you are probably not alive, but I was, so because I'm old. And so the Heinz ketchup commercial showed people waiting for the ketchup to come out of the bottle. And in the background was the Carly Simon song, Anticipation, was playing. And so it was this never-ending wait for the ketchup. Well, that actually became a quest to figure out how can we get the ketchup to come out of the bottle faster without losing its thick quality that everybody loved. And so this was, people spent a lot of time and effort and money to figure this out. So they created a something that could coat the inside of the bottle with, and that would help the ketchup to slide easier. They also placed a 57 on the side of the bottle. And so if any of you have seen that, and you know, if you pick the ketchup bottle up and you tap it on that 57, the ketchup will come out. So there's a lot of money trying to fix this problem. And in our story of Sarah, we will find that the biggest issue was she was trying to do God's job for him. So we're always looking for ways to speed things up. Unfortunately, we do this even with our prayers. And trying to find a way to wait on God and to have that patience is difficult sometimes. I'll bore you with a story, a personal story.
Hang on, Brenda.
Yes.
Sorry, ma'am. Just a minute. Libby, there's people waiting to get in that you have to let in.
Everyone's in. There's okay. No one waiting. Sorry.
That's okay. Thank you.
Go ahead.
Some of you do not know the story of our oldest, Ethan. So I'm going to bore you with that because it's one example I have of having to wait. So here's the Cliff Note version of Ethan. When he was born, he had bacterial meningitis that he developed at a day old. He had a seizure. He stopped breathing. And we were told that he probably would not live through the night. To say that Michael and I prayed a lot is an understatement. I think we prayed nonstop. I remember they wanted to give me a sedative to help me sleep. And I was like, no, because if he dies, I want to be there. And so I remember we laid awake and we prayed all night. So later, a couple days later, we realized that when we hadn't really shared what we were praying, we would pray together sometimes, but then we would also pray separately. And I think we were scared to let each other know because we didn't want the other one to think that we didn't want Ethan to live, because we did. But we realized later that we had been praying the same thing. So we had been told that the next days or weeks or whatever would be a roller coaster. There would be slight moments of hope and then long periods of sadness, and that it just wasn't going to go well, and that there was no way it would have a good ending. And so Michael and I both prayed that God would spare us from this roller coaster ride that we had been told we would be on. We didn't pray, please let Ethan live. We just prayed, spare us from the roller coaster ride. That if God felt, if he was going to take Ethan to do it quickly, we prayed that if his plan was for Ethan to live, that we would take whatever he gave us, but just to not drag it out and make it an up and down, that one day he was going to live, one day he wasn't, one day he was going to live, one day he wasn't. That I guess neither of us felt like we could handle that. Was it wrong for us to ask God to not make us go through that. I don't think so. And I think, and definitely we had a lot of waiting to do in that. And in a sense, we were asking him, don't make us wait if you're going to take him. So obviously the answer was we were, you know, his life was spared. And we were spared the false hope. Ethan did not ride that roller coaster ride that we were told daily he would have. So every morning when the doctor would come in and give us an update, he would tell us his progress and it was all good, but he always ended it with, but he will crash. Babies don't live through this. So you need to prepare yourself that even though things today look good, it may not tomorrow. So every day we had that, but we just kept praying, please don't put us on a roller coaster ride. And all we kept seeing was just slow, steady progress. On the day that Ethan was finally discharged from the hospital, we were there for almost a month. The doctor came in and he just sat down and he put his hands in his head and he said, you're taking your baby home because he was in bigger hands than mine. He said, obviously, God has plans and God meant for this child to live. And so, of course, we were very thankful and terrified at the same time. But I don't think it was wrong to pray, you know, for him to hurry and give us an answer. And if the answer had been that Ethan was not to live, we still, our prayer was answered for no roller coaster ride, that it wasn't a daily up and down, up and down. And so for that, we were extremely thankful. Let me catch up to my notes since so getting frustrated, a lot of times when you're praying, if you're getting frustrated, that's when you step in and you want to try to help and you want to do things to try to speed things along and you think you're helping God in doing things. I don't think we were doing anything like that, but I don't, you know, I think there is a time to ask, but I think how you do it and your perspective, and our perspective was live or die is in God's hands. Well, there was nothing I could do to change that. Our perspective was how can we get through it the best way and have the right attitude and carry on no matter what the answer was. So looking at Abraham and Sarah, waiting on God can keep us, if we wait on God the right way, it can keep us out of trouble. So Abraham had God's promise of a son through whom the covenant would be fulfilled. And we read about that in Genesis 15. And I'm not going to read these just for time's sake. Abraham and Sarah had tried and waited, but they could not have a child. She was barren. So after a long time, Sarah decided that rather than waiting on the Lord, she would take things in her own hand and that she would give Hagar to Abraham to have a child. Several things to keep in mind was that during this time, this was not, I mean, we look at that and we're like, oh, but during this time, this was not that uncommon. Women who were barren, it was in their laws that they could have someone can carry a child for them. So she did. She had Hagar. She gave Hagar to Abraham. He agreed. And Hagar ended up conceiving. What happened, though, after that is Sarah ended up bitter. Hagar ended up not happy. And the two of them did not have the same relationship. You know, was there taunting on one end that I got pregnant, you didn't? Was there hatred that you got pregnant and I couldn't? You know, there's no telling what all went back and forth and what between these two. But the end result was it wasn't good. Later, much later after time, Sarah and Abraham were both told, on separate occasions that they would conceive a child and there was an element of disbelief. Usually when we start trying to take things into our own hands is due to a lack of faith. Sarah was like, I'm 90 years old. I can't have a child at this point. Abraham was like, she's barren. She can't have a child. But the promise to Abraham was that she would, and that their descendants would be very important to how things transpired after that. And so she did conceive, and Isaac was born. But this pregnancy didn't happen after there was a lot of skepticism, laughter, and doubt from both of them. And those are dangerous roads to go down. And so I want to talk about some of those and how easily it is to get there. So when we talk about in the Bible, we're called to wait on the Lord. God promises promises blessings from our waiting, but those are just sometimes too hard to see. And so we get frustrated or we get sad and we start looking somewhere else. I read a story about a woman who, you know, had waited, wanted her father to, well, in this book, it talks about her wanting her father to become a Christian. And, you know, she waited and how her faith, you know, failed and she quit praying for it. And years later, her sister ended up getting sick and her sister told her father, you know, I want to see you in heaven. And her father was baptized immediately. But we sometimes lose our faith on things and we stop praying for them. And sometimes it takes maybe a slap of reality for us to realize that we can't give up and we have to keep praying. Are we always going to get the answer that we want? No. I mean, even in my situation, we have Ethan, he's 24, but he's got some disabilities and there's some things that we've dealt with every day of his life. Does that mean I'm unhappy with what God gave me? No. If I could go back and if I could have chosen one, you know, a perfect, healthy child with no issues or this, of course, everyone would say, well, I want my child to be perfect. But we're thankful for what we have. That doesn't mean that there aren't days that you don't say, boy, I wish. But my perspective, I'm always taken back to what things could have been. In this with Sarah and Hagar, with the birth of Ishmael and Isaac, it kind of set the stage for many things to come between the nations that they were both over. So it wasn't just one simple thing, two children. We're talking about nations that resulted from these. So why is it so hard? Because as part of humanity, we are prone to take matters into our own hands, to follow our own schemes. Yet over and over again, we are told, wait on the Lord, wait. So it's funny when you think about that, there are two forms of the word wait. Wait, W-A-I-T, and then wait, W-E-I-G-H-T. And most of the time, these are unrelated, but not always, especially when it comes to God. So think about it. One of our needs in waiting on the Lord is the need to cast the weight of our burdens on him. We need to be willing to wait, to sit back, to hold on, to pray while we put the weight, the heaviness of those things that are bothering us, or the weight, the heaviness of those things that we want to happen to change things for the better, whether it's maybe we're waiting on getting a job, maybe we're waiting on some news from a doctor about a health-related matter. We want those answers quickly, but instead of being frustrated when some of those things take longer, we need to take the weight of those and give them to God and continually pray for those. Part of that is hard because in our society, we've grown accustomed to immediate gratification. So when we want something, we can get it fast. We have technology. We were able to click on a button and turn on our computers, and Libby's a great host. And so we were able to sit here and have a Bible study together, even though we can't meet in the building. So we have great modern technology. We have fast food restaurants. We can get things as quick as we want. If we want an answer to something, we can Google it and we get it immediately. These quick ways of getting things and quick ways of getting answers sometimes makes it even harder to wait on an answer from God. When our phone or internet starts going slow and things aren't loading, we're not getting things fast enough, what do? We call and get our internet speed increased so that we can get to what we want to faster. We become extremely impatient when waiting in like an airport, in a doctor's office, at the grocery store, in traffic, because we've gotten so used to things being fast and happening immediately. Some things we just have to wait on them. We can't speed them up. And one of those things is waiting on the Lord. So it's not only difficult, but sometimes it seems impossible. Maybe we just feel like we can't wait. We want things to happen in our own time according to our plans, but God doesn't operate on our schedules, and expecting that he will just sets us up for disappointment. Sarah wasn't trying to go against God. She was trying to help him. She didn't realize that it was a matter of faith. She knew that it was a custom that if a woman was barren, that she could use, you know, her handmaid or and give to her husband. That was not something uncommon during that time. So there wasn't that she didn't realize that by not waiting on what God had told her was going to happen, that was a lack of faith. The book talked about, it talked about how surrogacy was very common. It talked about how, I'm going to catch up where I'm on this, that she didn't realize that this was possibly a lack of her faith, but she still took it into her own hands. Waiting on God means going without answers to prayer sometimes, wondering why the wicked seem to prosper, and hoping desires delayed, and having desires delayed and hope deferred. God has a greater perspective of life events, and his perspective, plans, and schedules are perfect and holy because he is perfect and holy. The psalmist tells us, as for God, his way is perfect. If God's ways are perfect, then we can just trust that whatever he does and whatever his timing is also perfect. When we grasp that fact, waiting on God is not only made less difficult, it actually becomes joyful. And that sometimes is really hard to see. Joy in suffering, joy in waiting, joy in not getting what we want. We have to look at the bigger picture, and we have to see why, and pray for understanding, and pray for patience. Yes, pray for patience. The promises of God are clear that in waiting on God, we find strength renewed. We are human, and we live in a fast-paced culture that demands everything right now. Sometimes the prayers we lift up to the Lord of hosts are answered immediately, and that encourages us to have more trust and confidence in God. But sometimes the Lord's answers are delayed, and we may even start to wonder whether the Lord is really listening to our prayers. And so I think Sarah probably was, maybe I am supposed to step in. Maybe God didn't realize I couldn't have children. Maybe I should help. Maybe I should do this. But God was clear in his promise that they would have a child. Waiting on God should not cause a believer to doubt or worry. In Philippians 4:6, Paul exhorts us to not be anxious about anything. Anxiety in the believer suggests a lack of faith, and that grieves the Lord. Waiting on the Lord is never easy, but we wait in the knowledge that God knows our situation, he cares for our needs, and he is good to the end. Hope deferred makes the heart sick, but a longing fulfilled is a tree of life. I think Sarah's story is a good example of how taking things into our own hands and not having faith in God cannot turn out well. I think, you know, you can't, are there times that we can do things? Yes, God's expecting us to do our part. But in this situation, he told her very clearly, told her and Abraham both, that they would have a child. And so she needed to wait on that. I know, you know, I get frustrated in trying to wait on things to happen. And I know that there's been times over our marriage that, you know, things with Michael's job, and we've had to wait, and with the industry he's in, there's a lot of change, and there's a lot of time waiting, and there's a lot of times that we're just tired of waiting. But we have to just have faith and trust that God knows what's best, and move forward and try to be happy with what answer he gives us, even if it's not what we want. So that was kind of a rambled mess. But that was what our lesson was about today. And I tried to just put some extra things in, and it was really interesting to just read some different scenarios and different things on that. As I was studying, so they say the teacher always gets more than the students. So if there's any comments or.
Thank you, Brenda. So, yeah, hopefully you learned something about waiting, because this, last 6 to 7, 8 months has been full of waiting. And so that's kind of been hard. I know for myself, it's been definitely something I've had to learn and learn how to deal with. And I know some of you have shared with me, you shared the same problems with that. So I thank you for that. In just a few minutes, I'm going to try to get us into private rooms, or breakout rooms. And then we can kind of share with our smaller groups. We can talk about anything for the remainder of the time. I was told we had 40 minutes. We may have a little bit more. So that'll give us about 5 minutes in our breakout rooms. If we have a little bit more, feel free to stay on. If it is like a hard, fast 40 minutes, it will just cut us off when that time is done. I did want to share, like, next week, Christina Hurd will be talking about Priscilla. I'll go ahead and share everybody in September. September 20th, Sierra Schmidt is going to be talking about Naomi. And then on the 27th, Nene is going to be talking about Dorcas. So that's going to be our teachers and our lessons for September. I hope that you can come back and join us for those at 4 o'clock. The links will be sent out in the weekly email. And like I said, if not, go back, feel free to watch them. They'll be recorded. And then you can just join us the next time you're able to. So I'm going to hit the breakout session. And in your small groups, just go ahead and talk about maybe some of the challenges and how you have faced the challenge of having to wait and be patient, and some things that maybe you have learned during our time in quarantine that maybe can help one another. And so I'm going to hit that, and we'll see you ladies next week, okay? Hit that. Mm-hmm. Okay, so what I do? Give me a second.
Yep.
How many rooms do I want?
Okay. We're waiting on the breakout room.
Yes, yes, you are. You, because I had to set this up. I had to see how many actually got on here. So there are going to be 6 people in each room, should be. Okay, so we are going to go to our rooms now. Feel free to talk for as long as you can. Like I said, if it's a hard, fast 40 minutes, it's just going to cut us off. So we'll see you next week. Okay, so here. All right, there you go. So is everybody in their rooms? Mm-hmm. You can come over here. Mm-hmm. So how can they see their rooms?
No, they're, you're going to see them disappear.
Okay.
No, go into their rooms. And you got to stay on. You can't touch anything except the drop. More than people in your room.
Okay. All right, so how do I unmute everybody in here? Hi, Pam.
They can unmute.
Okay, y'all go ahead and unmute yourself if you know how to do that. Can everybody unmute themselves so everybody can talk?
Well, good afternoon. Good afternoon, Libby. This is Catherine. I know you saw George Murphy up there in the corner, but it says George. Well, George, Catherine is George. Okay.
That's okay. That's okay.
And four.
That's okay. Yeah, they're kind of like just taking everybody out. This is my first time doing Zoom. So.
Oh, you're doing a wonderful job.
Thank you. I mean, I guess the whole point was trying to get everybody together and just see each other face to face and talk about anything, you know, that we've learned. And so hopefully
we've been learning how to be more patient, because it's in these kinds of situations that patience comes.
Right. What's something specific that you do?
Something specific that I do. I try and look around and see who needs help. Who can I help? And I start first in this house with George, I guess that's where I start. And then I'm reaching out because, you know, I'm from a large family. I have lots of siblings. And my sister, who is in New York, and she hasn't gone back to work. She worked in Manhattan, but lives in the Bronx. And she hasn't been back to work since March. But we continue to pray for her. In fact, today is her birthday. My youngest sister, today is her birthday, and she's been having a very rough time, but nevertheless, God is blessing. He is with her, and we tell her that, and I told her I'll be calling her later and talk with her, one of my other sisters, many of my other sisters and family members have been talking to her today. I sent her out on email this morning, happy birthday, with little emojis and things on that, trying to encourage her and telling her that I said, well, in a few minutes, we're having our worship service. She says, well, enjoy your worship service. Have a good worship service. So I'll be sharing with her about the worship service that Josh gave with this morning. And I tell you some of the things that I do. I tell you, Libby, I can't pray enough. And I can't try and encourage others enough. And I have like so song books here in the house. And the singing, I sing and I sing to my God, and I try and sing with the spirit and sing with the understanding and try and make the melody in my heart to my God, because, and realizing that, like, you know, in Corinthians, knowing that God's grace is sufficient. Difficulties, trials, tribulations will come to us all. But like Paul went to God three times for the thorn in his side, and each time God let Paul know that his grace is sufficient, and as it was for Paul, it is for us as well. So I try and encourage others as best I can. Let me hear from someone.
Okay, sorry. I had to go to a different room because somebody was needing help. So, Catherine, I know you were, are you still there? And I see Tara. Tara, we were.
Yes, I'm still here, but I decided to mute myself.
Okay, I'm sorry. I hit a button thinking because I had to help Bobby. I'm not sure if it's Bobby Johnson or who, but anyhow, I had to help Bobby. Then I got over there and then Beverly Murray could not unmute herself, so then I had to call David. So anyway,
my connection, have I been going in and out the whole time? Because the connection has been really bad for me today.
Just the video, I mean, it has your name, and I saw you on there for most of the time because you were like right underneath my picture. So,
well, it's like I started off and had no problem the first like 10 minutes, and then all of a sudden it just kept kicking me out and kicking me out. So I was like, I don't know if I could still hear for part of it, but then sometimes I couldn't. So then all of a sudden it came back on and it was just us.
Like, uh-oh, what happened?
I didn't know about the rooms.
Oh, yes. Okay. I'm going to stop recording because it's just you and I. So hold on.